Saint Therese of Lisieux, to my knowledge. Saint Therese, everyone knows who Saint Therese is, the little flower, the Carmelite nun, died at the end of the 19th century, considered one of the greatest saints in the history of the church. Saint Therese, to my knowledge, is the only saint who's ever taken this gospel passage and called our Lord the thief, the good thief. Therese died at the age of 24 years old of tuberculosis. Again, at the end of the 19th century, they didn't have anything that they could do for her at that time. She spent the last 18 months of her life bedbound, suffering terribly. And towards the end, she had maybe a couple of weeks left to live. Her Carmelite sisters, they all gathered around her bed, and one of them, trying to console her, said, "Sister, don't worry. Death will come to fetch you soon. Don't worry, soon all of your pain will be over. This will be done. You'll be with God in heaven." And Sister Therese looked at her and she said, "Sister, no, not death, but God Himself. I am not dying. I am entering into life." And this is what she would say: "The good thief is going to come and steal me away soon." Our Lord Jesus Christ, the good thief, was going to steal her home to heaven in a short time. When our Lord Jesus Christ comes, most people will not consider Him a good thief because they will be surprised at His coming. They won't want it. They will see Him as a bad thief. I remember a number of years ago when I came back after my freshman year of college, and I shared with all my college buddies that I was going to enter the seminary and, God willing, become a priest. And they were all shocked. I don't think any of them believed me. And they spent that summer trying to do everything they could to convince me not to become a priest. And one of my buddies, I remember him saying to me, he says, "You know, Jared, you don't have to become a priest to go to heaven." Right? Thinking that I was becoming a priest because I thought that was the only way I'd be saved. Another one says, "You know, Jared, you don't have to do this for the sake of your family. You know, thinking I'm being pressured into this." I remember one of the guys, probably the best of the lot of us, he was the only one who said, "Jeremy, I think what you're doing is awesome. And I really mean that." He had been baptized Catholic, and he might have received his first confession and his first Holy Communion, but that was probably it. I imagine he never really went to Sunday Mass growing up, or hardly ever. And he says, "I think what you're doing is awesome." He said, "You know, I believe in God. And one day, I plan on really looking into my faith. You know, probably after I get married, you know, have kids, and maybe once they're out of the house, you know, I really want to focus on coming to know who God is." And I remember thinking to myself, "Holy cow, you're talking 40 years from now." Right? 40 years from now, I'm going to try to find out who is God. But what is our Lord saying? That's the way so many people live. Right? One day, sometime down the road, I'm going to... At the end of time, and really throughout all time, but at the end of time in a particular way, it's going to be like the days of Noah. People eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Now, is there anything wrong with eating and drinking? No, so long as we don't do it to excess. Marrying and giving in marriage. Marriage is actually a great good. But what is our Lord saying? If you're doing all those things that in and of themselves are good, to the neglect of watching over your soul, to working on your relationship with God, those things are going to hinder you. Now, this morning... Oh, I should never say that I'm working on my homily the day of I'm supposed to give it. So this morning, I get up early, right, so I have a good homily, and I all of a sudden I'm reading and I'm thinking, you know, I wonder how big the ark was. You ever wondered that? How big was Noah's ark? So I'm reading through in the book of Genesis, it gives the exact dimensions. 300 cubits long. How big is a cubit? 18 inches. How big was Noah's ark? 450 feet long. Larger than a professional football field. 75 feet wide and 45 feet tall. How many years did it take Noah and his sons to build the ark? Decades. Now you can imagine a group of people building a 450-foot boat a few thousand years ago, right? Who would not have known about this? They would have been the talk for thousands of miles. People would have heard of them from long distances. Man, did you hear about those guys building a boat? They say God is going to send a flood to wipe out the earth. Everybody would have known. And everybody would have had years and years and years to prepare. And how many people were ready when it started to rain? I mean, you can imagine, people probably thought these guys are crazy, saying disparaging remarks, and then the rain started to come. Everybody at that point would have gone, oh my gosh, what were we thinking? Now we're going to get on board? They'd been asleep for too long. Not even when the rains came did they start to change their lives. Every once in a while, I'll have an older man or woman, like in their late 80s or their 90s, come to confession. Actually, I shouldn't say every once in a while, they'll come regularly, but every once in a while they'll say something like this. They'll say two or three things, and they'll say, Father, you know, you can't really do much more at my age. I one time had a 95-year-old man say, you know, Father, and he said a couple of things, and he says, Father, you know, I'm not capable of any more sin than that. And I remember in that moment feeling jealous about, gosh, I can't wait till I can say that when I'm 95 years old. But sometimes that's the way we live our lives, right? How many of us right now in our hearts could say, there are things that I am doing in my life right now that I know that God wants me to change, to give up. A few years from now. When I get to the point where I'm not able to do that anymore, then I'll let that go. That's the way most people live, our Lord Jesus Christ is saying. And so they're not going to be ready for His coming, not only at the end of time, but when He comes for them now in this life. And I close with this. During my freshman year of college, there was something extraordinary going on at the University of Notre Dame. At the end of my freshman year, I was one of five guys who left the university to enter the seminary. There would be dozens of my classmates to follow. 2 years before I got to school there, they had started, a handful of students had started a group called the Children of Mary. They dedicated themselves to Our Lady, that she would help them to live for her son. Within a couple of years, by the time I got there, there were 100 students who would meet every day to pray the rosary and go to daily mass. By the end of the first semester, I was one of those 100 students. The graces that flowed were amazing. So all of these students, you know, now I'm sure it's a very large group. It's been 15 years. The number of vocations that have come from that, the number of holy families is astounding. So all of us who left over the years, you know, I thought, gosh, I'm never going to see these guys again. A number of young women also. One of these girls, she was a year above me. She went and she joined a religious community in France. And after I was ordained a priest, I had not seen her in 10 years. And I heard that she was assigned at a little outpost in Lithuania. Well, I had my Easter break and I thought, you know what, gosh, it would be so great to see her, spend some time together here, how these years have been. So I fly up to Lithuania and I spend a week there celebrating Mass for her sisters, spending time talking to her, hearing what Our Lady had done in our lives over the last decade. And I remember when we were parting, it struck me, I might not see her ever again. You know, and there was this sadness. And I said that to her. And she said, you know, I've gotten permission to go back to Notre Dame for my 10-year graduation celebration, our 10-year reunion. Your sister was a year above me. You were a year behind me. Why don't the two of you fly out? And I thought, gosh, we were both close friends with a number of people in that class. Yeah, I think that would work. And she said, okay, if our Lord does not come before then, I will see you in 2 years. And I did what you just did. I go, oh, have fun. And then I realized she was being serious. And she didn't say it with any intensity. Well, if our Lord comes, there was no fear. She was waiting for her bridegroom. It's the way she lived her life. If our Lord does not come before then, I'll see you in 2 years. Our Lord is saying that's the way we are all supposed to live. Expectant of His coming, longing for His return. Does that resonate in our hearts? If you want to make this a good Advent, one recommendation. And I was praying about this last night. I said, Lord, is there something that you've wanted me to do that I've been putting off? Or is there something you've been wanting me to let go of that I've been holding on to? Let me know so that I can set that aside for Advent, or I can begin to do that during Advent to prepare my heart to receive you like never before this Christmas. I recommend that we all do one thing, to prepare our hearts for a good Christmas.